February 18th, 1974.
Substantive change. You've always had some women in politics. Had women mayors in this state 50, 60 years ago.
I think the change has been brought about deliberately by very forward women like me who had pushed themselves through the door. I don't think that it was because any political party or any group of men decided that it was time to bring them in. I think it was just because the women were so insistent to get there. I truthfully can't see where there's that much change, because I think that there's still so many meetings going on in the back room where they feel that a woman can't get involved in that facet of politics, which I guess they consider the policy making facet of it, which I think they're losing out, because I think that women who do become truly involved in the political parts of this life can make a great contribution in the policy-making decision. And I don't think that we've been given the opportunity to do it unless we force our way in.
Why is it that women in this state in recent years have had more success in the Republican Party than the Democratic Party, at least in the sense of the five women now in the legislature, four are Republicans, although Democrats greatly outnumber Republicans?
I don't think that they've had more chance within the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party. I think that the reason that there are five elected Republican women there was that the respective Republican parties wanted to run a candidate, and the only candidate they got was a woman. They didn't have a primary fight to begin with. And let's face it, every time we have a primary, we have a primary fight. So these were hand-selected people. And to me, in a way, I'm delighted that the women were elected. It's unfortunate they got elected under the wrong ballot. But I think that what happened, that they were hand-selected. I don't know how many of those women have families at home. And I think that what it was that the Republicans didn't have a male that they could put up to run against a Democratic male that could win. And this speaks highly for the electorate, I think, that they did vote for a woman. I'm sure that there were some Democrats who voted for those women.
Why do you think there have been no women candidates for statewide office in South Carolina, which is not the case in most southern states?
Well, I think that particularly South Carolina, I can only speak really for South Carolina, not that much for other southern states, any other state. First of all, I think that women in our state are more bound to stay home. However, I do have to say this, I think women in South Carolina are pretty lazy. And I think that there are a lot of them who feel like that that no woman should run. In fact, I don't think any person should run, whether it's a man or a woman, unless they've had some experience in the community, in developing community programs. But I just haven't yet seen that, the women who are coming along right now in my generation, it was not accepted that you be involved politically. It just wasn't. That was a no-no. And I think that that's one reason that we've got some of the crisis today everywhere, was because women weren't involved. I think the generation coming along behind us of women's gonna be entirely different, because they're more professional, they believe more in a woman taking a position on things. There are more female college professors today, there are more female wardens in the correctional system than they ever were before. And I think that I don't think that we should rule out that there's gonna be a female running statewide office in South Carolina. I think that this may come within the next 5 years.
Do you think the political development of women in South Carolina parallels that of blacks? Not to the extent of deliberate exclusion, but at least psychologically, that they weren't expected to participate?
I don't have any doubt in my mind that we weren't expected to participate. I do think that there are many elected officials and serving in the legislature, serving on the local level, and also those that are not elected that believe that women should be involved. But we
should be what?
Should be involved. But then you've got to look at the philosophy in South Carolina. Our people has been somewhat different from what it has in other places. And I do think that men are basically, in South Carolina, a little afraid of a very forward, outspoken female.
More so than in other states?
Yes, I do.
More so than other southern states?
Yes, I do.
Why?
I cannot explain it, Jack. I just truly feel that, and don't think that I'm against men. Lord knows, we couldn't exist without them. None of us could, but there is a certain amount of... Well, the feeling of the men in South Carolina that I've gotten is that a woman's place is supposed to be at home. This has been embedded in the women so that they believe that they should be home.
Do you make talks on the subject of women's groups?
Yes, I do.
What's your basic message?
Well, the fact that they're wasting a talent that I feel that the good Lord gave them and that they can be involved. But more importantly than that, that I feel like that everything we do is involved around politics. I mean, everything. And that the school system is involved in politics. And this is what most of the women will say, well, I've got children in school. I can't become involved. I've got children in school. But then those same women are the women that you'll find that play bridge 3 mornings a week or 5 mornings a week. And that if they only took one day out and devoted it to some political involvement, that they would find that they understand the school system more. They understand how the school board operates. They would understand the city government more, and right on up the ladder. I think we have made a dent by using that approach, that everything we do, even businesses, the development of shopping centers and all, politics is involved in that. And all they've got to do is sit down and study it a little bit, and they find out. Every bill that comes out of the state legislature had to have a beginning somewhere. And in talking to women's groups, and you tell them the steps that a bill takes and how they, as one individual, can register their support or complain against it, this seems to excite them a little more. One reason we haven't gone any further than we have is I don't think we've had enough women to be speaking to women's groups to explain to them the steps that you take and what happens. I can't say that we've set the world on fire with it, with getting them involved. But even if we go for a year and we pick up 20 additional women, to me this is a good accomplishment.
Pick up 20 additional women in what?
In a year.
20 women.
That will become involved. That will become involved.
That can be a slow process.
Well, it may be a slow process, but I think it'll be a very positive process.
Among women in South Carolina, you probably hold the most influential political position in being chairman of a fairly major state agency, as well as being National Democratic Committee, but particularly in the former role. There's always been a woman in the National Democratic Executive Committee woman.
Right, but I got elected with quite a fight.
But even the chairman of the
Youth Services.
Board of Youth Services. That puts you in a non-traditional women's role. Any examples that come to mind of experiences that probably were peculiar to your being a woman as opposed to a man in that position?
Oh, yeah. I think they had one woman on the board, from the upper part of the state. And she was traditionally, as women are supposed to be on boards and commissions, supposed to be the secretary. And then when I was appointed 5 years ago, I was elected secretary. And I made no bones about letting the people know that I somewhat resented the fact that I was. And then after 2 years of being on the board, our chairman died, and our vice chairman had been elected to the House from Richland County. So I was the only elected person that was still serving on the board. And so naturally, coming down, the chairman was gone, the vice chairman was gone, so the secretary stepped up as the acting chairman. And there was great deliberation and quite a bit of pressure from all parts that, although I was serving as the acting chairman, that it really wasn't the thing to do to elect a woman chairman. I was the first woman to be elected as the chairman of the state agency board. Well, our board elects our officers, and the board felt that I was the person that should be the chairman, and what they were thinking about is we were going through an educational process of educating the legislature as well as the citizens of South Carolina on the Department of Youth Services. And I think many of the staff resented it who had been in correctional work for quite some time. They felt that it should be a man that would be visiting the dormitories on the John G. Richards campus and what have you. And then all of a sudden they found out that I could handle a rough situation with a language the same as anybody else could. And sometimes you do find yourself in a position that you've got to listen to words that you would say that a lady shouldn't listen to. But if a lady is going to become involved, she's got to be hard enough, broad-minded enough, that she can take anything that a man can take. And I proved that I was able to do it. Up until about a year ago, the Southern Correctional Association always sent me my mail as Mr. B. Sylvester. And now they have dropped the R and added the S, which I don't particularly like. I'd like for them to have the MRS and not the MS. But it was very hard for people at the American Correctional Association to accept me. I evidently am the only woman anywhere around that is the head of a correctional agency. But I have to say that our administrative staff and the staff down at Central Corrections has been most helpful and have accepted me on their level. But it was hard that first year, too.
Anything you come to mind, any incidents that make the point of it being hard?
Yeah. I was going through the dormitory of the girls' camp on the girls' campus one time. And when we went on this board, there were very, very few programs within the agency. And we had our hearts set on becoming a treatment and rehabilitative agency and not just a custodial agency. And we cut all the television soap operas off in the afternoon. And the girls got upset. And I was walking down the hall to visit a little girl from Oree County who was sick, but not sick enough to be in the infirmary. There were four little girls in the room, and they saw me walking down the hall, and they said, "There goes that damn bitch right there." And naturally, the superintendent, who was a male, wanted to go back and reprimand the girls, and I said no. And I had a hard time convincing him that it was the wrong thing to do, but then I know that it was the right thing because after the visit, I went back and talked with the girls, and we turned out to be big buddies. And this was 3 years ago, and last Christmas and Christmas before last, I had notes from them, and I've got pictures of they've gotten married and pictures of them. The other thing where it's so hard is that when you go into the security building at the John G. Richards School, and the staff doesn't want to talk to me about the problems that they've had because I'm a woman, and then I have to take them and sit them down like I'm taking one of the students and shaking them to make them tell me exactly what's going on. And it's taken them a while to really come around to the fact that they can talk to me man to woman like you would talk man to man. It's been a challenge, but I'm winning it.
When do you think there'll be more women running for public office in the state? Do you see any substantial increase?
No.
Is there something peculiar about women that give them something different to offer the public as elected officials?
Yeah.
Why should there be any special reason why there should be women in elected office?
Well, I think they should be, because I don't think that women are afraid to take a stand with an issue. I don't think that they are inclined to step softly when it comes to something that they believe in. I think that women are very, very outspoken. And I just think that they would make a contribution because of being so outspoken and believing so strongly in what they believe in, that they wouldn't hesitate in voicing their views.
What do they believe in? Things that men don't believe in or believe in less strongly on issues? I mean, is there a difference?
Well, let's, for example, take something right now. And I hate to even bring that in because I'm so scared of the word and the fact of impeachment. But I believe that you would find more women today that believe the president should be impeached than you find men. And I believe that the women would not hesitate in telling you how they feel about it. And men, I think, particularly if they're interested in public office, are very, very careful to voice an opinion on the thing. And I don't think that you would find women to be that way, but I can't truly say. These are the women that I deal with, that I work with, that I raise money, that help me raise money for retardation and things of that type. But I can't see where we've got a woman sitting in the South Carolina legislature that's very outspoken. I sat in there 2 weeks ago for 3 days, and never one time in 3 days did one of those women go to the microphone. And I can't understand it. The other day, there was a bill introduced.
Does that conflict with your previous statement?
Yes, it does, but this is what I'm saying, is that there are women who should be elected, who should run and be elected. And Mrs. Rudnick, who is the only Democratic female sitting in the state legislature, did get up the other day and introduce an amendment to a bill pertaining to bicycles. And that is the first time I've known her to go to the floor. I'm sure she's gone before. But what I was saying, too, is the fact that these women, the Republican women, aren't necessarily more qualified than anybody. But the Republican Party in those respective counties evidently felt that that's who they could get elected, and they wanted to elect somebody. And they haven't shown me anything where they're involved in the decision-making policy of what the Republican House members do or not. I don't know that Mrs. Rudnick is, but I know that if I was sitting there and a lot of other people like me, we would be involved in it. I can't tell you what I would love to see a woman running here in Florence County whenever the primary comes up. I'd love to see a woman running for county council when that comes up. And I'd love to see a woman running for city council. And I'm not talking about... What happens here is that a lot of women get elected. Not elected.
You were campaign manager, weren't you, for the probate judge?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of women probate judges in South Carolina. Why is that peculiar, the woman's office?
Because I don't think that there are many young lawyers who want to, from my understanding and talking to law students and to attorneys, that when you go through law school, you don't really study that much probate court. Because no one has yet been able to imagine a young attorney spending all that time going through law school and coming out and serving full time in the probate court. This would be ridiculous.
Oh, you have older men.
And the reason that I managed the campaign was that she had served up there for 16 years. She knew absolutely nothing about politics. She didn't know where to begin, what to do, or anything else. And I just felt so strongly, not because she was a woman so much, but the fact that she was a woman and had 16 years experience in that office. And I believe that it is a full-time job, that we don't need a part-time judge of probate.
Go ahead and talk about that. This was in 68 you had...
No. Well, in 68,
in 72, there was an effort.
In 68, we didn't have that much, but there was
an effort. In 72, there was an effort made.
To
get women elected to state convention.
Right. And the counties didn't do too well on that. We had more women than we had ever had before, but it still wasn't up to what it should be.
But
what happened, though, now, for example, let me tell you what happened right here in Florence County. We had 9 women running on the slate at the county convention. everybody, you know, everybody could, anybody could be nominated. Anybody could go and nominate themselves by filling out a card and filing it with the secretary. We had 9 women running. Do you know how many were elected? One was elected. And all kinds of women had enough to be the alternate, because you picked your highest numbers and then the next highest were the alternate. So some of the men, just to keep the women happy, dropped down so the women could be alternates. So then we get to the state convention, and in the 6th congressional district, we had 5 women running for delegate to the national convention. Not a single woman got elected. The men would not vote for the women. But we've also found out that lots of times women won't vote for women. But in that particular instance, at the state convention, when we were electing delegates to the national convention, we had our women there. And they voted for the women, but the women, they were the only votes that the women got. So we had not one single woman elected from the 6th district. We had one woman elected as an alternate.
You also had a situation where you were attempting to elect blacks, and a number of blacks were elected, right?
Well, we had 3 blacks elected from the 6th district. We only had 4 delegates, and 3 of them were black, and one was a white male, all of them male. Even with me standing up there and several other people standing up there begging them that we wanted a young person, we wanted a black, we wanted a woman, and we wanted a white male. And we ended up with 4 males, 3 black and 1 white. And I don't know what's going to happen. We've got county conventions coming up. I do know what the women are going to do here. We've got a slate made out of nothing in the world but women on it. And we're going to hand it out the night of the county convention, trying to get at least part of these women elected to go to the state convention. And a lot of people have said, oh, you can't do that. That's not right. Well, what's not right about it? One thing that's hurt women with their chances of being elected, I think, and I believe in equal rights, but I think that to a degree the ERA thing got completely out of hand. And I think that those of us who do support it and are level-headed about it, maybe we fell down on our job that we didn't get to as many female groups as we could to explain that you're really not giving up anything, but that if you're educated enough to be in a position that you deserve to be paid the same thing that the male is paid. I think that in the state of South Carolina, if women had gotten themselves together and gone with one presentation on the ERA, that it would have paid. And that presentation being the director of the state library. If we had used her as the example of equal rights, no one can make me believe any differently that that thing wouldn't have passed. Ms. Walker is the director of a state agency. Her salary is so low that they cannot afford to bring someone in to train them to be the director when Ms. Walker retires in about 2 years, because the person that they would have to bring in, they'd have to pay more than they're paying Ms. Walker right now. And this is where we fell down on the job. You could look at it all kind of ways, and you could take it back to the South Carolina status on the Commission of Women, that they didn't do their homework, that they were the ones who should have been making the presentation.
Well, of course, you had 2 of the 5 women legislators voted against it.
That's right. But
my question is it really the majority of women in South Carolina are against it because the reasons you cited earlier?
That
psychologically, you said they've been trained from childhood to accept that role and want it.
But I do think, though, that, and I've got an ERA bracelet.
Where's the Democratic Party here in South Carolina? What kind of coalition is going to hold it together? Where's the Wallace vote going?
I think the Wallace vote is going to come back to the Democratic Party, because I think that we have come over that disaster that we had in Chicago. We've overcome that disaster we had in Miami. And I think really and truly the main reason the Wallace vote's going to come back to the Democratic Party was that they saw their man although it may have been in a wheelchair, lifted up to the podium in Miami. And he's been talking about the Democratic Party and what it stands for, and that this is what's good for the people. Bob Strauss has done a terrific job in bringing these people back together on the national level. And I think that in looking at the Democratic Women's Council just last week when we had a meeting, and you had sitting there around that table Wallaceites, McGovernites, Humphreyites, and things of it, the whole conglomeration sitting there. And the main thing that was the topic of conversation is that we have wasted too much time. It's time for us to take a position on issues. And to see all of those factions sitting there discussing what issues we were going to take a public stand on and how we were going to take it and sit down there reasoning it out and everybody come up with the same conclusion. Now, can't you imagine 33 women sitting around a conference table with a mixture of that, and every one of them had been so strong for their candidate, and we come out with a mutual understanding on issues?